Okay, go ahead, turn to Hebrews 13. The teaching tonight is entitled, With Such Sacrifices, God is Well Pleased. We're just really going to look at one or two verses right here and see where the Spirit leads. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. King James reads, but to do good and to communicate. That's the King James word. The literal Greek word there is koinonia. And to experience koinonia, or deep sharing, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. That's the title. And I would submit there's three things the Scripture talks about. Think about this verse a minute, these two verses. God is saying there are three sacrifices that please Him. The Scripture tells us, whatever we ask, we receive because we keep His commandments and do those things, 1 John 3, that are pleasing unto Him. Are you all familiar with that verse? If I keep your finger there, just flip. I want you to see that. 1 John 3, verse 22. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, go back to Hebrews 13. I would submit the key to just about anything in life boils down to the ability to ask and receive from God. Can you imagine? Are you awake to ask and receive? Problem is, many of us ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own lusts, says James 4. But he says, if we ask, we shall receive if we keep His commandments to do the things that are pleasing. Well, He tells us here what's pleasing. So, I mean, it's almost just connect the dots of these two verses. I really believe the secret, if there is one, to experiencing receiving from the Lord what you pray is embodied in these two verses. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There are three things He delineates here that if we would walk in these three things, it's pleasing to Him, and I think it opens the windows. What's the first one? By Him, therefore, let us offer. Do y'all's versions read the sacrifice of praise? So that is continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks or confessing to His name. Now, you know, the first thing that's pleasing to the Lord is you absolutely have to get it in your life that I will live a life giving thanks to the Lord. I will live a life of praising. Y'all remember Psalm 34? I will bless the Lord when His praise shall. It's to commit yourself to a life that is focused on Him, to praising and thanking Him. The verse says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be provided. It's interesting that the first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love thine. Am I right? Love God. It's all about an intimacy with Him. It all starts with intimacy with Him, a fellowship with Him, a worship. But it really is predicated upon a giving thanks. I believe the key to in entering the presence of God is giving thanks. Told that Psalm 100. Enter into His gates with what? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you in everything. Give thanks. It is the will of God to give thanks. The thing that God, as we know, Jonah out of the belly of the whale, when he finally gave thanks, God spoke to the whale. Many of us are stuck in situations, swallowed up, taken where we'd rather not go, because we refuse to give thanks. We're resentful, we're bitter, hard-hearted, angry, in control, whatever, wishing this and that, and we never just give thanks. Wanting to get out of the situation rather than giving thanks in the situation. A lot of times God leaves us in the situation until we finally give thanks in the midst of the situation that He delivers from the situation. Because the whole purpose of the situation was to teach us to give thanks. And if we don't learn that, we just have to send another one and another one. How many of y'all been around that mountain? So, folks, the first thing is a sacrifice. And I like the word sacrifice because sometimes it really is a sacrifice. You know, sometimes the last time we want to do is praise and thank God. We don't want to in all our ways acknowledge Him. We want to really believe this particular phenomena is from the devil or something else, and therefore I have a right to complain, resent, get self-pity, whatever, And so we get out of the circle of God's kingdom and authority, and the demonic attacks us, and then confusion comes. We get out of the spirit. Folks, let me tell you, the secret to everything is intimacy with God. You know, 1988, we had started the church in 87. I started ministering seriously in 83. Well, by 83, 84, 85, and 86, and 87, I was ministering a lot of deliverance to people several times a week all those years, casting out demons, learning signs and wonders. Particularly since the summer of 88, 87, when I began to experience after the John Wimber conference in Birmingham, supernatural signs and wonders like I'd never seen. That whole year from the summer of 87 till 88, I yearned. Something was crying out to me for intimacy. I realized, I don't know how instinctively, that the key to all of this had to do with intimacy. And I didn't have a lot of intimacy. Like, I just remembered it was a tremendous need in my life to be intimate with the Lord. Had a lot of confusion early days of the church. My discernment wasn't very sharpened, pretty dull. All kinds of demonic activity around me, all kinds of spirits and people, recognizing as a new pastor I need to be a little bit sharper rather than a stub number two pencil, you know. How many of y'all like to be sharp in the spirit? You ever feel like a pencil that's kind of worn down to the nub? Do you know what it takes to get an old stub pencil very sharp? God has to take you into this thing and just blades. Amen? But what happens? You come out sharp. Iron sharpens iron. God put a lot of people in my life back then. And they had sharp edges on them. And the sharp edged people were cutting me left and right, but not realizing it was good so that I could become iron sharpens iron. I'll never forget, I went to this conference in Birmingham, and it was a phenomenal time. About 3 or 4 days, about 1,000 of us there, and it was really even though I'd been to see Wimber the year before in 87, it was in 88 that I really got it. Remember one point in the conference, I was staying in this little hotel room, and we'll go to the meetings every day. And during one of the breaks, I went downstairs, and it was just during a session, between sessions. I remember I went under these stairs, and they had a Coke machine, and I went back behind the Coke machine. There was a little place you could sit, and I had about a 20-minute break. And I remember just crying out, just crying out for intimacy. Saying, God, I need intimacy. I want intimacy. Please, God. I just feel, you know, I'm just distant. I just cry in my heart. Well, we finished the conference, and as the conference ended, they said the amens, and it was kind of a big gymnasium, and 1,000 people began to head to the doors. Some of y'all heard this before. As I'm headed to the doors, I was with one or two people I'd got to know and was, you know, talking to them. This lady starts coming at me from way over in the other side of the room as everybody's heading out, kind of zigzagged towards me, and kind of comes up to me and says, excuse me, can I talk to you a second? So I stopped. I said, sure. She says, listen, I know it's over. You're fixing to leave. Conference is over. The Lord is on me. He's been telling me to come talk to you, but I need to do it right now. So the lady, apparently the Holy Ghost has been telling her. She just picked me out of the crowd. She said the Holy Ghost has been telling her for that the day before to talk to me. But she realized she hadn't done it. And as we were leaving, God nailed her. Because she said, she turned and she saw me. And the Lord said, go talk to him. So this had happened to me before when I was on another mountain in 1982 in Hot Springs, Arkansas. On top, I've had these mountaintops. I was literally up on a mountain with some friends of mine. There happens to be a mountain right in downtown Hot Springs, if y'all have ever been there. And you can go on the top of it. We were up there. We parked our car to basically climb the top. And on the very top of the mountain, at that time, we were sitting out the little view place and telling my friends, a couple of us went up there to Hot Springs from Houston to spend some vacation. I remember telling them in 1982 that the desire of my heart was to pastor a church someday. I just told them that. Now I was at an Episcopal charismatic church. There was no way for this way to Hades, I was ever going to go to Episcopal Seminary. So how that could ever happen, I had no clue. But I remember telling them that, And we walked back, and there was this guy sitting on a stone bench right on top of the mountain. As we walked by, he motioned to us to come over there. So we went over and introduced ourselves and stuff, and we talked a bit. And as we walked away, he called me back. He said, come back, come back. So I came back, and he said, I know this sounds kind of awkward, but I believe the Lord has a word for you. Turns out he was a pastor in the Hot Springs area that was up there having his quiet time. Great place to have a quiet time, on the top of the mountain on a stone bench. He said, I believe I have a word for the Lord for you. Well, I was going, I'm standing there, my friends are going, okay. He said, yeah. He says, listen. He says, the Lord wants to tell you that you're fixing to go through some of great stress in your life. And he wants to know that every hair in your head is numbered. You don't have to be afraid. And it has something to do with your job. Oh, no, that's cool. Thank you. So I went down to the bottom of the mountain. I went right in the car, in my company car. I had one brand new company car. I was in sales. I'd graduated from college a few years before. We drove up to my company car and pulled out this booklet, and I wrote down the prophecy. I learned that. You write them down when they happen, word for word. I figured I might need this. That was Saturday or Friday. Friday or Saturday, I forget. Well, that Monday, we're back in Houston. I pull up my company car to my job over West 34th Street off of 290, Burke Form Repair Systems. I was basically an engineer salesman. Walked in, said hello. My boss said, Chris, come here. I need to talk to you. Don't you hate that? And he gets up and closes the door. Says, I got to lay you off. I'd been there 1 year. You ever heard of last hired, first fired? There was a great recession coming in 1982. It was when the oil business went like this. Okay, it was the beginning of the end. I was absolutely freaked out. Turns out, just through a series of circumstances, God had sovereignly worked it, where a guy that used to work for my daddy in New Orleans offered me a job to go to New Orleans and be a salesman to sell offshore construction of floating production platforms in the oil business. Well, one thing led to another. A month later, I find myself living at my brother's house in Metairie, completely away from Redeemer and Houston, living there, walking down the street one night, freaking out, going, what am I doing? And I'll never forget, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, remember the word. I know, and there had been a prophetic word in my life, that this was him. Every hair in my head was numbered. Do you know, because of that prophetic word, I could go through that? Well, it turns out, do you know why I was in New Orleans? Because a buddy of mine in New Orleans at a prayer meeting, I got involved with some ministry there, about 6 months I lived there. He told me, he said, some things going, he said, Chris, I think you need deliverance. And he encouraged me to go back to Beaumont and submit to Harlan Deem and get some prayer for deliverance, which I did, which birthed me in my ministry. Had I not gone to New Orleans, Rich Pace would have never told me to do that. The guy I'd met between two parked cars in September of 71 is the one that told me in 82, you better go see Harlan to get some deliverance. That started me on the run. As soon as I got the prayer for deliverance, wham, bam, right back in Houston, got a brand new job, another company car with a better house. And I'm sitting there one day going, whoa, that was wild. God had to send me another state, take everything away, so I could hear the word of the Lord, get deliverance, and he put me right back where I was with a better house, a better company. But this time it was a Cutlass Sierra rather than a Chevy. I thought, is God good? So I'm there in Birmingham. This lady comes up, and she says, I got a word of the Lord for you. You know what she said? She said, amazing how the word of knowledge works. She said, you have been crying out to the Lord all weekend for something, and God wants to tell you he's going to give it to you this much. She walked away. I went, how'd she know that? You think the Lord saw me under that Coke machine? Well, I'm here to tell you, God is good because he's given me intimacy this week. He has. I would never trade my intimacy with Jesus. You see, I know that he's there to a degree I used to long for. Are you hearing me? Folks, let me tell you something. Everything comes out of intimacy. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Intimacy is you have a constant giving thanks because he's there. And he's in charge, and everything is ordained from him. Everything flows out of intimacy. And I'm so grateful. That was, what, 19 years ago now. Isn't that right? Amazing how time flows. And I can tell you what, I'm so grateful for the intimacy of Jesus and the voice of Jesus and the ability to hear his voice. Amen? He spoke to me the other day. I was just driving down this, I call it the belly of Clear Lake. It's this road. You don't have to cross any lights. You go all the way across town to get to my office over there. It's really cool because all these golf courses and big open spaces, and I love that. And listen to some song, and I heard his voice real clear. Do you hear the Lord's voice? You know, I really believe the Lord speaks to you far more than you realize. Did you know that? My sheep hear what? The problem is, folks, listen. Did you know in this room right now, there are all kinds of phenomena going on. The entire internet, thousands of movies, radio programs, and shortwave conversations are flowing through this room right now. Did you know that? Everything on the internet. That's a lot. It's all flowing through the room. Did you know that? But if you have the right receiver, you can pick all that up. If you had a shortwave radio, did you know you could pick up conversations going on in Russia right now in this room? Did y'all know that? Every movie, all of that's flowing through the room. What is the problem? The transmission or the reception? See, God transmits, but do we have a reception device, which is a hearing heart? I believe God is speaking enormous mysteries and glory and revelatory things from heaven. Most of us are in AM, and he's speaking in FM. Amen? We're fiddling around the AM dial. Well, Hispanic, you know, which is about 90% of what it is here. And then Rush Limbaugh, you know, AM. Talk radio, the talk you want. And then you go to FM, or maybe it's the other way. God's speaking in AM and you're stuck in FM. Amen? So it's all reception. The point is, it all has to do with intimacy. Hearing is hard. Folks, everything flows on intimacy. I really believe signs and wonders, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, opening the blind eyes, having words of knowledge for people in public places, sensing what's on someone or in, sensing the spirit, learning to hear, speak what you hear and do what you see in the spirit realm, all comes out of intimacy. It starts with intimacy. It starts with an attitude of gratitude, a gratefulness to Jesus, and an absolute it for Jesus. Pedal to the metal. I'm going to share a word this Sunday about there was a guy that God actually told him when he was going to die. Do you believe he still does that today? Do you believe the Lord can reveal to his servants how much longer they've got a race to run? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's a blessing. How many things do you believe the Lord can reveal to us? It depends on what you want to hear. And are you on the right bandwidth? Can I hear an amen? So that's the first sacrifice, is a praise, and it all births out of gratefulness, a rest in the Lord. I heard somebody say once, enter into his rest and let him do the rest. When you enter his rest, he'll do the rest. See, we're all Martha'd out. Amen? Anxious and troubled. But when God's called us to a rest, to abide in the vine, to abide in a place of peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means. What a wonderful promise. Peace, rest. Well, you can live in the present moment, because let me tell you what, living in the present moment is the key to signs and wonders. Living in the present moment is the key to the supernatural. If you go to Starbucks, wherever you go for your fix, there's a coffee place on Bay Area. Went in there one day, I said, hey, this is like Starbucks. Everybody across the counter went, shut your mouth. This is one of those competitors to Starbucks. I think they all used to work at Starbucks, you know. I forget the name of it. Dietrich, yeah, that's right. What is it called? Yeah. Wherever you are, and you go in there, or maybe you got a place you like to go, grocery store. Yeah. You're sitting there, and you're just being about your business, and somebody walks by you. You know, I realized, and we'll show you in Scripture in the weeks to come, It says Jesus went about, I love the phrase, went about healing all sicknesses and all diseases of everyone. And I really got convicted of, where's Jean? Jean and Bo and I were talking about this week that he had to straighten a little bit of my theology out. Jesus healed them whether they were saved or not, whether they were repentant or not. He cast the seed wide, whether it went on stony ground or thorny ground. He cast it out. Now, the hope was it would bear good fruit. But he was indiscriminate in his giftings. And that's where my theology was getting all kind of bound up a little bit. And the Lord rebuked me. Actually, he rebuked me indirectly through Pastor Ortega. What was his name from Bolivia? Fernando. We sat down when he first came. We sat there and we just had a good conversation upstairs in my office when he first came. And I was just going on. He was talking. He said, well, brother, I think you're not looking at it the right way. I think you need to look at it this way. And I remember thinking, what do you know? I've been in this a lot longer than you. Don't give me that look. And then a person in this room had thought that thought before. Right? It's called pride. But I remember thinking, that's what I thought. And I didn't say it. What I said was, praise the Lord. But what I thought was, what do you know? I've been in this a lot longer than you. Now, come on, be real. Work with me here. Bunch of religious snots. You were all like that. That's what was in my brain. So then Pastor Ortega gets up and preaches that Sunday, right? Is that his last name? In the middle of his sermon, he didn't know it. Maybe he did know it. There was something he emphasized on was directly to that issue. And I thought later, I thought, he put that in there. Because he loves me. He does. I helped bring a lot of blessing to Bolivia and his country. He loves me, and I'm a snot of a brother at times, and he's discerned some of that snotness in me. So he spoke a word. And I remember sitting there, and the word came. I remember thinking, I could hear the Holy Ghost said, that's for you. I remember said in my brain, that ain't for me. Come on, be honest. Has he ever done that? The Lord nails you, that ain't for me. That's for you go to your wife, says, oh, here's the CD for tonight, honey. Oh, the wife goes to the husband, you know. Oh, wait, you plan a road trip, you know, and she pops it, you pop in the CD. We're going to listen to this. Well, anyway, so over the next few weeks, it's like the Holy Ghost, finally the Holy Ghost, recently the Holy Ghost brought that back to my mind. He said, hello, you don't hear it? So I said, yes, Lord. And it was not a big deal, but it was something, there was let's just say a bit of an overemphasis in the wrong direction. And the lawyer pulled me up short, and he said, you got to get your theology straightened out. And this was it. Jesus went about casting seed everywhere. He was indiscriminate in his care. And I realized I have to get past this hurdle if we're going to move in signs and wonders. I've got to. Because he'll do things out there in the world. And I'm determined every time I go to CVS, Dollar General, or Kroger, that's my three favorite places, and Food Town, I'm the one that buys the food for the house. And I'm really glad for that because it puts me out in public all the time. And I like being in public because now I'm around people, because when you're around people, you're around needs. And I'm getting what I tell you. I had to go to Dollar General today and I was pushing my cart. Had to buy this and that and the other. It's where I get our soap and our various things. And I enjoy going. And I just found myself being more sensitive to the needs of people around me. Whereas before, the thought was, well, you know, they need to kind of come to the church and be a disciple, and then maybe we'll give them eye drops or something. Amen? But Jesus went about dispersing. And you know what? It's all born out of intimacy, because it all has to do with hearing. Now, what's the next thing in Hebrews 13? In fact, we're going to skip to the third one, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. It's interesting. The second one was to do good. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the third one was koinonia. And the Greek word is koinonia. Now, what that speaks of, listen, first it's intimacy. And I would submit to you, when you've got an intimacy with God, koinonia, which means deep fellowship with your brother, guess what? That works. And with no striving. Intimacy and compatibility and unity and openness and workableness with others works when you got this. Why? Because when you got this, the Holy Ghost can whisper to you when you're being a snot or a jerk. Can you imagine that? And you keep short accounts and you repent. So it's in common. If you seek intimacy for intimacy's sake with your brother, it ain't going to work. It gets soulish and weird. It does. It gets dependency, you know, dependent, sick relationships where you're emotionally hooked on all that gaga. And sicko and demonized. But when you have this autonomy with Jesus, and it's really clear here, guess what? Things just work well here. It's like somebody said, when the center, how's it work? When the center of the wheel is hooked, all the spokes work right when the center of the wheel is hooked in right. All of the relationships work right when you've got the center in correctly. I wrote here, it's easy to do number three if you're flowing in number one. Remember it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Did you know the context of that verse in Galatians 5 says, do not bite and devour one another. That's the lust of the flesh he's talking about. It's not the lust of the flesh in that verse. He's talking about the tendency to bite and devour and be bitter and judgmental. That's what he's talking about. He said, when you walk in the Spirit, guess what? You'll overcome the you that cause problems in the relationships. Psychology is a joke because psychology is focused in the wrong direction. The very word psychology or psychiatry, the PSY, you know, those funny little words that start with PS. So where'd that come from? Well, it's the same word from a Greek word called psuche. It's a transliteration. P-S-U-C-H-E is a little Greek word. And it's a word that means soul. Okay, the soul. And it's derived, the words such as psychology and psychosis and psychotic and psychoanalyst are all having to do with the soulish realm. And the soulish realm is where the demonic lives. We're called to be born of the Spirit, spiritual man. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts in the soul. Here's a wonderful verse. You got to turn here. It's great. 1 John 1. Let me tell you, this verse is so cool. The reward of doing these two things. 1 John 1, 7. How many of y'all would like to know that no matter what a low-life, dirtball scum you are, the blood of Jesus is immediately there to watch you? And really, I mean tangibly and really, you know, there's a condition. It's right here in 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and look at the result. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Do you see it? When we have walk in the light, we've got the intimacy with him, we're pursuing him, he's first. Guess what? Then we have fellowship one with another. Guess what? And when you have fellowship with your brother, when you make things right with your brother, turn back to Hebrews 13. When you're open with your brother, when you love your neighbors yourself, guess what? God is pleased. He'll dump the blood of Jesus on you. All over you. You'll bathtub full of blood of Jesus for you. Some of y'all need swimming pools of the blood. Hello? I need an aquarium-sized swimming pool for the blood of Jesus. Well, that's a condition, because if I don't stay intimate with him, if I get, you know, weirded out vertically and things start weirding out horizontally, guess what? He won't forgive me. Bible says, you know, if you don't forgive your brother, neither will your heavenly Father what? The blood of Jesus dries up. Jesus said in Matthew 25, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. Scripture talks about unity, the unity of the faith in Ephesians 4, Matthew 18, to leave your gift in Matthew 5 and go make it right with your brother. This is really important to the Lord. It's a very high priority to the Lord that we have horizontal unity, that we not hold a grudge, that we not be stupid and bitter. Bitterness is stupidity. I love the definition of bitterness. Bitterness is drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Amen? You have no idea. I mean, well, it's so sad. You have people all gnarled up with stiffness of bones and arthritic conditions and all gnarled up and hurt and pain. But by God, they're hanging on to the right to be bitter against that so-and-so that hurt me. No idea that the so-and-so may be free and happy and joyous. And they're the ones eating the fruit of the bitterness. Bitterness is stupidity. So, having seen part one, sacrifice of praise, part three, the sacrifice of koinonia, I would submit, folks, in this body, we have part one and three regularly emphasized, focused, and moving it. Would you agree? We, in fact, our small groups are called koinonia groups. Women's groups and men's groups dedicated to intimacy and sharing and accountability. But look at verse 16. The third sacrifice that pleases God is that he uses the word, but to do good. And that's what I want to close on. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Folks, listen carefully. I don't believe your good is good unless it's flowing out of an intimacy with God and a peaceful, loving relationship with your brother. Then listen carefully. What flows out of that is to do good. And to do good is really what it's all about. Did you know that faith without works is dead? Turn to James 2, flip the page. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If a man say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. What he's saying in this whole chapter here, those verses, is faith is works. Faith works. If it's real, it works. And it produces goodness, doing good. Now, the problem is, a lot of people put that first. They think Christianity is about doing good. They walk around, they're in much intimacy with God. They certainly got problems with the people around them, but they're out there doing good works. Well, you know, the Bible says, by works, by grace you're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're getting credibility or credence or some kind of sense of self-worth and your brownie points because of your works, folks, those are dead works. And Hebrews 6:1 says, repent of dead works. And we all know that we're saved by works. And the Reformation was all about coming out of works. And we Protestants coming out of the Reformation, in many cases, have thrown it out, maybe with the bathwater. So just, you know, worship God, keep right with your brother, but don't do the works. And not understanding that the judgment of eternity is predicated upon our works. Because 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says we're going to be judged according to what was done in our body. And many, many places Jesus spoke. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, according to the foundation, what's built on the foundation? Word, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stone, and the fire will try it to see what kind of works you brought forth. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 25, he said, I will say to them, you know, that on my right hand, that when I was sick and in prison or naked, or you brought me in, you come, whatever you did to the least of them, you did to me. He said, and they will be rewarded based upon their good works. So doing works is all about Christianity. And it determines our creation. Now let's go a little bit deeper. What do you mean by good works? What do you mean by doing good? King James reads in Hebrews 13, but to do good, verse 16. Now, I want to show you, this is going to segue where we're going, Acts 10:38. Because Acts 10:38 tells us exactly how to do good. The Holy Ghost way. How many of y'all would like to do good, but do good in the Holy Ghost way? Not helping little old ladies across the street, you know. I'm not saying that's not but it's all about, let me tell you what a good work is in the kingdom. A good work is a work initiated by the Holy Ghost, drenched by the Holy Ghost, washed in the Holy Ghost, floodgated by the Holy Ghost. That's a good work. Can I hear an amen? Well, let's look at the example, Acts 10:38, because the third thing we looked at is to do good, which is sacrifice pleasing to God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with dunamis power, dynamite power. Notice this, who went about what? Doing good. Now, let's look at the definition of doing good. You ready? Healing all that were oppressed to the devil. There it is. The Bible definition of doing good is to walk around, folks, I believe, in healing and deliverance. It's interesting. In Mark and Luke and Matthew, whenever he sent out his disciples, he sent them out to preach the gospel, to cast out the demons, and heal the sick. Can you amen? Freely you receive, freely give, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Folks, this is what doing good is in the kingdom. Doing good, but notice what's necessary to do good. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good. The problem is a lot of us are doing good without the anointing of the Holy Ghost and power, dynamite power. We're out doing good, and those are the dead works because they're birth of the Martha, birth of a sense of necessity, birth of a sense of striving, birth of a sense of need to be pleasing to God because we've been on the bad list. And the Lord's saying, no, this engine needs to run with lots of oil in it. You need to learn to be anointed with the Holy Ghost in power. And when you got the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you will go about doing good. Now, it's interesting, he didn't just do good in the synagogues. Most people's good works are in the synagogues. You know, people come to church and that's where they get prayer and ministry and signs and wonders and healing and whatever. Or in structured times. If you look carefully, and as I was reading in the Gospels, it says he went about. It means he went about. He went about doing good. He did good wherever he was, whatever he was doing, in the morning, noon, and night. In fact, there's one fascinating bunch of passages in Mark 1 where they describe one whole day in Jesus' life. If you look at it, it says, and he rose up early before the break of day. That started the day. It talks about the day. Of course, the day in the Jew, I'm sorry, that was the end of the day. That was the end of the day. Because in the Jewish mind, the day starts in the evening and ends in the, right? So, Jesus, in one day, was confronted with all these dynamics of what? Sick, diseased, demonized people, and he was moving in the Holy Ghost in power and healed the sick, cast out devils, raised the dead. So the question to ask is, and the need we have in this body and in my life, and I'm sure you recognize it in your life, is how do you walk about every day anointed with God, with the Holy Ghost and power, so I can go about doing good? Defined as healing and delivering people from the oppression of the devil. Now, I submit to you, this is one of the things that's well-pleasing in the Lord. Amen? A sacrifice well-pleasing. I really believe if we ask anything, receive, it's because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If our heart is to the Lord, Lord, I want my life to do good for You. I'm pursuing You for intimacy. I'm keeping my relationships clean. You know, I got short accounts. I do not have any ought against my brother. But you know, the problem is so much of Christianity is kind of focused on the negative, just trying to not do bad so that God's happy with it. But God wants us to flip it, to kind of get out of a defense mode of football and go into the offense. You know, you never score unless you got the ball, which implies taking yardage. And that's really what doing good is. I think intimacy with God and keeping, that's just defense. Doing good is offense. Because doing good is storming into the gates of hell. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, 1 John 3:8, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Doing good is to destroy the works of the devil. And how do we destroy the works of the devil? We do kingdom works. We do just what Jesus did. How did Jesus destroy the works of the devil? He got with all His disciples. He got on top of a mountain and began to yell at the territorial demon to command it to come down. Is that what He did? No. He just went about. It's interesting. I really believe Jesus would get up in the morning and He would have an agenda. Some agenda. We all have some agenda. We might have to go to the store. I don't know, whatever, the market. Or you're going to go to Peter's house one day. Maybe they're getting ready to do a campaign down in Capernaum, you know, and he's going to go down and visit Martha and Mary, whatever. Jesus had agendas. One time he was headed to Jairus' house, which was kind of interrupting from something else, and then some other woman crawls up and interrupts him to that. Jesus went about. One time he walked into John 5, this portico at the temple. Why was he walking in there? Well, he just felt impressed to the Spirit to do so. Walks in all these sick people, but he was led to one particular person. Another time when he was in Samaria. He went to Samaria, and it said, in fact, it's interesting, John 4 talks out, he says they were going to go down to Jerusalem, but it says he must needs go through Samaria. And this disciple said, why are we going through Samaria? Jews don't go through Samaria, they're a bunch of half-breeds. We stay out of Samaria. And if you look at any Bible map, you have to kind of circumvent, go around Samaria to get from from Galilee down to Jerusalem. And Jesus went right through and ended up, y'all know the story in John chapter 4, woman by the well. And that opened up a whole revival there. He planted the seed that was finally harvested by Stephen in Acts 7. When he walked in town, Jesus had planted the seed. Demons were screaming and coming out. Incredible revival that Jesus had planted the seeds for several years before. He went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. So, folks, that's my message tonight, is with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. The first thing is, I don't know about you, I want to be at the point, I really do. This is kind of going what the Lord said, go back to the basics. From 20 years ago. I want to be at the point that wherever I am, whatever I'm about, whether it's my business in my office, dealing with clients or colleagues, sitting at homes with clients. I meet a lot of clients. Going to a store, passing by all kind of people, in various situations and circumstances, that I got my antennas out and I'm listening to the Holy Ghost so that I'm available to Him. To what? To lay hands on the sick. To speak words that the Lord would give me. And I really believe I've got to start. You can start too, but I've got to start doing it in my life. I've got to get there in a way I'm not at. Because I believe this week I passed by a number of instances where God wanted to use me. Why? Because I was filled with my agenda and I wasn't sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And you know, the Ephesians, in fact, here's a good verse. Turn here, Ephesians chapter 2. This really is a good conclusion verse to this. Verse 10, Ephesians 2:10. This is an incredible verse when you read it in other versions. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship. You know, one version says the word workmanship means His poem. We are His poetry. Listen, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God has before ordained we should walk in them. I really believe God has ordained. There are divine encounters and appointments for every one of us that God has ordained that we should walk in them. The problem is there's a war going on. There's something called demons. And demons trip us up, dime store demons, with our old selfishness or pettiness or indulgences. Where, you know, if for once the Holy Ghost has told you, do not stop at that little corner store and get that little that little 35-cent fried pie that you know you don't need to get it, and you don't know, you're fixing a pull-off because you like going in there and getting a Coke and that little fried pie because it feeds that little gnawing hunger in your belly, and you know the Holy Ghost saying, don't do it. And one day, by a miraculous signs and wonder event, you actually do not go and get the little fried pie, and you continue down the road, and you go a little bit further. Suddenly, you're in a stream in the spirit world where some other situation comes up that God had ordained for you to move in signs and wonders. Because you obeyed Him here, He allowed you to move in supernatural power here. Am I making sense? When you deny yourself, God opens up those windows. But unfortunately, the devil, it's a war. The devil doesn't want us walking around illustrating the kingdom of God by our life. He doesn't want us walking around, walking in a store, seeing someone hobbling down the aisle by the cereal and saying, hi, I see you're hobbling. Yes. Well, how long has that been that way? You know, people have no problem telling you about the ailments, by the way. Don't ever feel intimidated. If someone's hurting and you ask them, trust me, they like to talk about their ailments. You ever been to a nursing home? That's all they do is tell you about their ailments. Don't start, you know, how you feeling? I mean, 30 minutes later, you know. So they start telling you. At some point, you stop them because I don't want to go too far. Remember the guy had the little kid fell in the, you know, froth at the mouth, and Jesus asked him, how long has he been this way? The guy told him, and then he started elaborating. You know, he said, since he was a child. And then really he moved into unbelief. The Lord had to end it. So just say, well, listen, can I pray for you? I believe Jesus can heal. Do you mind if I pray for you? And, of course, the person, if they really want to heal, you never know. It'd be difficult if someone's really in pain to say, no, I don't want to pray for you. I'm embarrassed. I don't care. They want to be healed. Who knows? Usually it's you more embarrassed than them. I mean, how the guts to stand there right in the cereal aisle at the store and lay your hands on somebody and pray for them. Now, you say, well, how do I pray? I'm going to tell you a simple prayer. You want to see a simple supernatural prayer that works every time? You ready? It's simple. Turn to Matthew 6. This is how you pray. It works every time. This is how you do good works. Matthew 6:10. Folks, Matthew 6:10 is the key to all healing and all deliverance. Are y'all there? Y'all recognize the disciples' prayer, the Lord's prayer? Matthew 6:10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hey, this is how you pray. Person's got a broken leg, cold, maybe they got whatever's going on, maybe they got cancer, whatever. You just lay your hand on them very gently. You said, say something along the line of, well, Lord, You said to pray that your kingdom come. Let me ask you something. Is anybody sick in heaven? Any broken legs in heaven? Any colds in heaven? Amen? So he just laid hands on it. He said, Lord, you said that kingdom come. So I pray, you ready, folks? I pray that you would loose here what's loosed in heaven. You remember that? Jesus said, whatever you loose on earth shall be. You know, the Greek is shall be what has been loosed in heaven. That's the little Greek. So I ask you to loose here what's loosed in heaven. Lord, I ask you to just bring heaven. Let heaven come. Thy kingdom come. Right here, now. You know one time with that, you know the first word out of Jesus' mouth in his ministry? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, what? Is coming one day when I come again on a horse. What did he say? And hand! Your hand. At hand. So always remember that. When your hand goes, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at your hand. Amen? Look at your hand right now. Say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There it is. The kingdom of heaven laying on our hands. That's the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is now. He wants to take not all the millennial blessings, but he wants to, by the Holy Ghost, disperse his blessings in this dispensation periodically by the gift of the Holy Ghost. How? Just pray heaven's blessings in this earth. We have an authority to walk in a situation and bring heaven in. How? Father, thy kingdom come. Nobody's sick in heaven. I pray that you would bring the healing power of heaven right now on this leg. Now, can y'all do that? Is that complicated? If your entire healing ministry is all boiled down to Ephesians 6:10. Is that cool? That's it. Oh, and deliverance and all of it boiled in there. Because what's going on? What else is going on in heaven? Well, there are two things going on in heaven. There are certain things that are going on in heaven and certain things that aren't in heaven. Right? And that's whatever you bind on earth shall be what has been bound in heaven. Right? If there's something demonic going on, Lord, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I take authority because that ain't going on in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. What? Is it heaven? What is his will? You know what his will is? You ready? It's what's going on in heaven. So we just speak his will on earth. Is that, y'all got that? What, tell me, nod your head and say, yes, I got that. Now, did you really get that? That's to do good. Those are the good works set before us. Now, let me challenge us. I'm going to be hammering on this. This is some new perspective, some old stuff. New perspective on old stuff. But I'm going to hammer on this until the nail is so far on the pine board, okay, we're going to bash it through to the other side. I'm going to hammer on it until we do it. I think I got to keep hammering on it until when I say there are any testimonies, then we have to stop and say, that's enough. We got to go ahead and get the word tonight. That's when I may shift a new direction. Is that fair? Hammer on it, and hold me to this, hammer on it until when I say there are testimonies. So many people are getting up saying, well, I tried it. I was here in Home Depot, and there was this little lady in a wheelchair. And all I knew is I thought, okay, ain't no wheelchairs in heaven. Is this heart theology here? Do you picture wheelchairs on the golden streets? Maybe if they're slanted, you know, you go, no. So you go to the lady at the wheelchair and you say, hi, how long have you been in the wheelchair? Don't be ashamed to say that. They'll probably say, oh, you remember that guy was 39 years, was it? John 5, laid there, and when the angel came, first one in gets healed. 39 years, you could never get down to the water. Man, if it did me, I'd have had some kind of pulley contraption up in the ceiling works, you know, and had myself over the... Anyway. So you ask her, how long have you been in the wheelchair? She tells you, she says, well, ma'am, you don't have to ask if she's saved. You might. Do whatever the Lord... The key is what? I want to show you this because Jesus said, I only speak what I hear the Father speaking and only do what I see the Father do. You're going to learn to see the Spirit. The more you do this, the better you get at it, by the way. Trust me. It gets easier. It really does. Wouldn't that be cool the way this is just like second nature? Say yes. Yes. Okay. I know y'all with me. So you lay hands on the wheelchair lady, and what do you say? You say, well, Father, here's a good prayer. Father, this was your idea. Right? You said thy kingdom come. And by the way, everybody out there knows that prayer. Am I right? Everybody knows that prayer. You said, thy kingdom shall come. Well, your prayer interception knows. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father, ain't no wheelchairs in heaven. I ask you would come and bring heaven right here. Come, Holy Spirit, with your heaven healing on this woman. Now, wouldn't that be cool? Now, what happens? I have no idea what will happen. You may have a vision of a woman getting out of a wheelchair. And you go, huh, I wonder what that means. Hello. You need to tell her, get up. Remember Paul was preaching, he said to that young man, rise. Remember Peter grabbed the guy and said, silver and gold have an number. So that's a, what? Rise. Or you may have a vision of a demon. Or you may have a vision of, or you may have a quickening of the word of bitterness come into your mind. Who knows? Holy Ghost. Or you got guts, you're going to minister, and or you're embarrassed and ashamed. You know, Jesus did say, if you're ashamed of me before man, why? So, particularly, you know, if you really want this stuff, you better do it when he gives it to you. Don't say, well, Lord, I'll get her phone number and call, email her later with what I saw. No. Just tell her, ma'am, I just saw something. But you know what? It may be the Holy Ghost may just come. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, a secret I've learned in the kingdom of God over 37 years, just almost 37 years. God heals far more on the streets than in the church. Let me say that again. God heals far more on the streets than in the church. It's true. One day, a couple of us were out doing that evangelism thing we do. One night, I don't know who I was with. I forget one of the ladies here. And there's a guy, we were walking house to house. The guy was standing at the foot of his, he was walking down his driveway like this. Who is that, Mike? Was that you or somebody? I forget. And he and we came up to him, and I just said, well, come here. He didn't know who we were. He said, sure, we laid hands right there, and you know, the Lord instantly healed him. And he began to hop around like this and walk, and he kind of ran down and ran back. Was that cool or what? And I remember thinking that that's evangelism. We didn't have to give him a tract to, you know, Jesus. You know. No, man, we were able to demonstrate power encounter right there. Y'all hearing me tonight? Are you seeing why I was saying we're going in a different direction? See, the Holy Ghost, this is something the Lord wants all of us to do. This is the good works. And right now, I'm going to ask you in conclusion, I want you right now to pray right now and ask the Lord to show you the reality of this in your own life, in your own home, in your own neighborhood, your neighbors, the stores you go to, your school, your job, your workplace, your family. Lord, I pray that you would show us the reality. Lord, we got to hear the bad news for the good. We got to swallow our, take a deep breath and realize we have been missing you, but you love us and you're not going to hold it against us. You're just excited that we can start walking with you. Lord, I pray that you would show us right now, quicken to us so that we can go forward from this point more obedient to you, aware and available. Suddenly every day becomes an exciting challenge. Every day becomes an interesting challenge of the kingdom of God. Even the most mundane run to Walgreens to get some medicine for the kid can be an encounter in the supernatural if we're simply available wherever we are. Because you've got good works ordained of heaven. If we just open our ears and are willing to get out of our shyness and fear and love like you did, Jesus. Lord, you reached out and touched the lepers. You weren't afraid, Jesus, to consort with certain ones that others judged you for. You were on the streets and the byways and highways, caring and giving and loving. You would go to the Pharisee's house and just be bold and demonstrative of your power. Lord, you were just bold and out there, and the Father honored you. Lord, forgive us for falling short and buying into this Americanized religion of dryness and powerlessness, Jesus. When all you really want is your kingdom to come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You are coming again. We are going to heaven. The supernatural will be here. The millennial reign will exist. But Lord, you want us in your mercy, in your grace, to move in the powers of the world to come. the first fruits of the Spirit, to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus, open our heart. Give us a challenge of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Jesus. Now, how many of y'all would really like to move in a new and fresh way? All right, I'm going to ask you, we're going to do a special prayer. This is going to seem a little awkward. Are y'all okay with awkwardness? By the way, I want to tell you, Jesus had no set formula. They brought a blind guy to him once, and he spit on the ground, made some mud, and slopped it in his eyes. Another time they brought a blind guy to him, you know what he did? He spit in the guy's eyes. I mean, just spit in his eyes. Another time, healed another blind guy, didn't do neither. I have no idea why he did that. But Jesus, he was more concerned with doing what he heard and saw to affect the healing. So I'm going to ask you to do something right now. Whoever has glasses, take your glasses off. Just hold them in your hand. Just take them off real quick. Now, reach around. I want the person next to you to put their fingers, just a finger or two on your eyes. Just place a finger or two on your eyes. Mitchie, you can put your finger on both eyes. Put it on his eyes. Just place your finger on their eyes. Come on, Seth. Come over here to him. Everybody just place two fingers on their eyes. We're going to pray with him. You two back there, just place your finger on each other's eyes. Come on. Do you want it? Who wants power? So look, that poor Kelly doesn't have anybody. Have someone put their finger on your eyes. No, this is not to heal your eyes, dear. This is not the healing of eyes. Work with me here. I'm doing something a little different. Just have someone put their fingers on your eyes. That's all it is. We're not asking for healing of the eyes. Do you want finger? Go over there with Clint. Just put your finger on the eyes. Are you willing to do something out of the boat a little bit? Some of y'all say, I don't want to do this. Okay. Work with me. Darryl, you got up somebody. Dave, put your finger on his eyes. Come on. Put your fingers on his eyes. Yes, everybody has fingers on their eyes. Randy, you need Jerry to put his finger on your eyes. Samuel, put your finger on his eyes. On the eyes. And he needs to put finger on your eyes. Gene, sit down. Sit down. Yes, everybody has somebody putting finger on their eyes. I'm going to pray a prayer. No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's okay. We'll get this. Everybody has somebody's fingers on your eyes. Come on, do it. Do you want it? Work with me. Do it. Do you guys, you want them? Come on. Get out of your pride. Put your fingers on each other's eyes. Come on. All right. Now, are you ready? Now, what we're going to pray, folks, you know what? This is a foolish act. But listen to me. The wisdom of God is wiser than the foolishness of men. In the name of the Lord, I speak. Openness of eyes. I speak in the name of Jesus that our eyes be opened in the name of Jesus with the eyes of wisdom and revelation and discernment and the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of heaven that our eyes would see, that our eyes would perceive, the inner eye, the eye of our spirit would discern what the spirit says and does. Come, Lord, open our eyes, and I bind in the name of Jesus spiritual blindness. I bind the blindness in Jesus' name because it's bound in heaven. And I loose clarity and perception and discernment in Jesus' name because the things are very clear in heaven. Let the kingdom come. Let heaven be on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say it. Now let's give thanks. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Just thank him. Jesus. Oh. Come on, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Lord, Lord, Lord. Do it, Jesus. Do it, Lord. I pray this anointing would extend everyone in this work, everyone, Lord, under this covering, young and old. I pray, Lord, you'd open the eyes of the little children. For a little child shall lead them. I pray the day the kids in the store will say, Mommy, Daddy, let's go pray for that sick person. Let's go and lay hands on that one. Let's, Lord, bring the kingdom on earth. Lord, I pray you'd anoint the children and they would lead the parents. I pray you'd break the cocoon of fear and little independent lives we live. Smash it, Lord Jesus. And your kingdom would come and your will would be done. On earth, Jesus, and our lives, this church, Lord, would be what it should be in the kingdom, a witness of signs and demonstration of power of Jesus in the kingdom of God. Jesus.